Hey guys, welcome to Sunday Nights at Refuge, a community-focused Bible study that gathers weekly in our Common Ground Cafe. So grab a cup of coffee or tea and your Bible. By the way, you can connect with us on Instagram at Refuge Family. Now, our prayer is that Jesus would use this message to draw you closer to Him. So if you're ready, let's join tonight's study. So if you guys haven't already, if this is your first time, we usually systematically work our way through books of the Bible. And so we've been doing that, but sometimes it's cool to kind of get a different kind of break that tradition up. So we've been doing select psalms that highlight a ministry of the Holy Spirit. So tonight, just someone that I love very, very much, I consider a big brother, and the Lord's going to be bringing the word. So why don't you guys help me and welcome Marty Booth.
Well, good evening again. Great to be back. Great to be back with the family. I don't know about your day today, but it was a wonderful, beautiful day outside today. Did you guys get outside? Yeah, gorgeous outside. In fact, the morning started with a message by Bruce. Anybody here this morning for Bruce Sonnenberg? If you didn't check it out online. You know what? All about being an ambassador to Christ and how to live that out in our daily walk, how we bring the light to everyone. And it really fits our message well here tonight. In fact, it kind of fit my message as I was with my kids this afternoon. We were playing some football out in the park. It was my granddaughter's birthday today. She was 4. I have 8 grandkids, 5 kids, been married 33 years. And I'll tell you, you know what? Just seeing the kids love on each other, you know, as family, you know, we all have our little pettinesses, and to see everybody just loving on each other, just kind of like we are here as a family. You know what? You might have come here tonight and someone sitting right next to you or sitting in the back, maybe you separated each other from each other, but you may have this little pettiness that comes in. Well, somehow when we worship before the Lord, when we come before Him, when we start loving on each other, all those little pettinesses go away. You know, they're just gone in the presence of the Lord. So before we get into the Word tonight, again, like Isaac said, we're going to be in Psalm 143, and specifically, we're going to be focusing on the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. So before we do that, let's seek God in prayer. Heavenly Father, You are the master teacher. It is You that we seek for wisdom, for healing. Father, we just ask You to open up our hearts tonight, open up our minds. Father, let us just chew on Your word and ingest it in us. Father, may this word just nourish our bodies and transform us, Father, into the likeness more of Your Son. Give us that heart of love that You have. Give us that heart of patience, of understanding. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. By the way, if you haven't checked out Wednesday nights, we've also been going through the essentials of the faith. And one of those has to do with our topic tonight, which is pneumatology. That's a study of the Holy Spirit. Pastor Bill spoke, I think, about on 5 sections, different messages. But if you're looking to go deeper with your understanding of the Holy Spirit, you know what? This is a great way to start. So Wednesday nights here, you can check it out online. Before we get into Psalm 143, I kind of want to go over some foundational things here. You know what? I have a ministry over at Cal State Long Beach, and one of the questions that comes up all the time when you study the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, people ask, well, where was He? Where was the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament? It was kind of like God has put his team together, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and somehow they think that God benched the Holy Spirit and said, you know what, you get to go play on the day of Pentecost, you know, but that's what, you got to kind of stay out of this, my son's going to come in here, and no, that's really bad theology, right? And I know you all know this here, but the Holy Spirit has been alive and active from the day of creation. In fact, we see in Genesis 1, we find the Holy Spirit hovering over the face of the waters, actively involved in creation itself. In the Old Testament, it was also the Holy Spirit's job to fill certain craftsmen, such as Bezalel, who worked on the items of the tabernacle. The Holy Spirit also came upon many of God's prophets and judges. We see that in Elijah, in Moses, in Samson, in Gideon, and of course, in our study tonight, the author of our psalm, in David. As we begin our study in Psalm 143, I want you to look for two specific things. First, I want you to observe how the Holy Spirit is working through David's prayer life. Notice how the Spirit is working to comfort him, leading him. He's guiding him, instructing him. And then the second thing I want you to look for is the contrast between two different types of spirit. David will speak about his spirit first that fails him, that is overwhelmed. Then he'll speak about God's spirit that is simply good. So without any further ado, let's start with Psalm 143. Psalm 143. David says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In your faithfulness, answer me, and in your righteousness. Do not enter into judgment with your servant, for in your sight no one is righteous, is living is righteous. For the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me dwell in darkness, like those who have long been dead. Therefore, my spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is distressed. I remember the good old days, the days of old. I meditate on all your works. I muse on the work of your hands. I spread out my hands to you. Oh, my song longs for you like a thirsty land. Answer in me speedily, O Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, lest I be like those who go down into the pit. Cause me to hear loving kindness in the morning, for in you do I trust. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk, for I lift up my soul to you. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. In you I take shelter. Teach me to do your will. You are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. Revive me, O Lord, for your name's sake and for your righteousness' sake. Bring my soul out of trouble. In your mercy, cut off my enemies and destroy all those who afflict my soul, for I am your servant." In the preface here, we see that this is a Psalm of David. Scholars can't quite pinpoint a date when this happened, but we know that David was in trouble again and crying out to God for help. He might have written this maybe when he was fleeing from Saul, when they were seeking out to kill him. He might have written this when he was fleeing from his son Absalom. If you remember, there was a revolt. His own son had a revolt against him. Either way, David was in trouble. and he was seeking God's help. Now, if you quickly turn to the beginning of the preceding three Psalms, I want you to turn back a page in my Bible. Turn back a page and start off at Psalm 140. You'll notice that the next three Psalms have a lot in common. And we're going to go in verse 1 with each of these. They say, verse 1 of Psalm 140, "Deliver me, O Lord, from evil men. Preserve me from violent men who plan evil things in their heart." Psalm 141, verse 1. "Lord, I cry out to you. Make haste to me. Give ear to my voice when I cry out to you." And then Psalm 142, verse 1. "I cry out to the Lord with my voice. With my voice to the Lord, I make supplication." All of these three, in fact, all of these four, are interrelated. All of these are David's psalms. David, in Psalm 143, is now seeking God, not just to hear his prayers, but he's seeking him to take action. In verse 1, David says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In your faithfulness, answer me." David cries out to God for mercy, for help. Psalm 143 is considered one of the songs of repentance. It's a penitential psalm. We can see David's repentant heart here in verse 2 when he cries out, "Do not enter into judgment with your servant, for in your sight no one living is righteous." Now, David was not blaming God for the situation he was in. He took full responsibility for the persecution that he was facing, and he sought God's help then to deliver him. David also knew from this psalm that only God could forgive sin. It is God's faithfulness, God's righteousness that David is putting his faith in, both for deliverance and for forgiveness. David found no hope in his own righteousness, because he stated, "No one is righteous before God." Paul tells us that all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. All of us are a sinner in need desperately for a Savior. But faithfulness and righteousness are not just adjectives that describe God. They are the characteristics of God. God is faithful. God is righteous. It is God's faithfulness and his righteousness that frees us from the bonds of sin. Our works cannot save us. Only God, through his Son Jesus Christ, can save us. In David's time, man standing before God could only be accomplished through that of sacrifices. These sacrifices, though, only offered a covering for man's sin, an atonement, they called it. Jesus today offers us a one-time, lifetime, complete sacrifice for all of our sin that we have committed, both in the past, that we might have done today, and anything we might do in the future. David knew that if he was going to be delivered, he knew that he would be saved only by God's faithfulness, God's righteousness, and not his own. So here's the first point to remember if you're a point taker. First point one, the Holy Spirit leads us to all truth. David was a man that was filled with the Spirit. We know this from 1 Samuel 16:13. The Spirit instructed him, just as the Spirit instructs us today. The Spirit teaches us the truth concerning the truth of sin in our lives. And of course, who can really help us in time of need? Now, I don't know about you guys, but suddenly, when I feel a need, I think I can fix it as a man. I go, hey, I can fix my kids, I can fix my car, I can fix my finances. And I'll tell you, I can barely fix an omelet without burning it. Yeah, I mean, really, what makes me think that I can fix all my kids' problems, whether they're financial or emotional? But then, after me, I figure, hey, I don't have the answers, so who do I go to? I go to my friends, but not just friends, friends that want to tell me what I want to hear. See, I go to those friends next that will support me, and maybe I have a problem with a brother or a son, and they'll say, oh, those kids, yeah, those kids, man, they're evil. They're evil. You shouldn't have had them. Yeah, they're evil kids. You know what? We go to the wrong people. Brothers and sisters, we need to be going to God first with these concerns. We seek God first through prayer, through His Word, and then fellowship with our brothers and sisters. We need to have brothers and sisters in our lives, and I hope you have them, that will just call you out. Like my brother Rich here, if I were to start stumbling, he would call me out. He'd say, hey, Marty, you've crossed that line, brother, bro. Hey, you need to come back. Let's pray about this. We need to have that fellowship of the body, those people in our lives that will speak the truth to us in love and patience and compassion. In verses 3 and 4, David explains his reasons now for crying out to God. He says, for the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me dwell in darkness like those who have been long dead. Therefore, my spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is distressed. David has come to the end of his earthly strength. Therefore, he knew to call upon God's strength to deliver him. I don't know if you guys have ever been there, but I have. The world will hit you sometimes with a double punch. You'll lose your job and your car will break down, right? Right? Those things happen in real life. Your boyfriend, girlfriend, maybe you have a big fight, and then suddenly you find you have a bill that's come due that you didn't know about or you forgot to pay, and you have no resource. It's kind of like life takes its big boot, like David explains, and puts it down on your head and starts crushing you and starts applying pressure to your life. This persecution, these lies sometimes from the enemy, these relationships that just rip us apart, can devastate us. David felt alone. He felt like we have felt in the past, in darkness, distressed, overwhelmed, and without hope. This brings us to our second point. Second point. The Holy Spirit in those times makes groans of our heart known before God. When we guys don't even know how to pray, even know what to pray for, we don't really even sometimes know what we need. Do I need love? Yeah, love is good. Do I need money? Yeah, money's good, but I'm not sure that's going to fix it. Do I need a new job? New friends? Lord, you cry out, what do I need? Jesus said to Paul, and he says to us today, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Jesus alone is the lover of our souls. When we find ourselves unloved, rejected, hated, persecuted, he continues loving us. Jesus is our strength when we can no longer continue. It's in his strength that we hold on to. And then Jesus is our rock, and it is him alone that we stay tethered to in those times when the storms of life, they come. There was a song in the early church that we used to sing all the time. How many of you grew up in a more traditional church? Any of you? Yeah. Then you'll remember this one. There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. Sometimes I feel discouraged and think my work's in vain. But then the Holy Spirit, he revives my soul again. Jesus is the balm. Not just the balm, but he's the balm. It is him. It is him that heals us, that loves us through all things. In verses 5 and 6, David begins to find healing then in God's presence. David writes, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your works. I muse on the works of your hands. I spread out my hands to you. My soul longs for you like a thirsty land. Selah. In verse 5, we come to our third point concerning the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit reminds us of God's faithfulness in the past. David thought back on his life, maybe as a child, how God had redeemed him, delivered him from lion, from bear, from Goliath, right? Man. As a man, he remembered how God protected him from countless battles, delivered him from King Saul. And finally, God delivered David from his sin with Bathsheba. God offered mercy, forgiveness, and reconciliation, all because David humbled himself before God and then repented. God, I'll tell you guys, God is just so faithful. For a man 59 years old, married 33 years, 5 kids, 8 grandkids, being self-employed for 37 years. God hasn't always provided everything I want, but he has always, always provided everything that I need. He has always provided then enough patience when my nerves were shot, enough comfort when I lost my grandfather, when I lost my parents, when I lost a son, and enough love when I felt alone, lost, and unlovable. God has always been faithful. He delivered me in the past, and I know, like David, he will deliver me again. David looked back on the works of God. He saw his creation. You can imagine as a child, just standing there out in the field with the sheep, looking up at God's creation and saying, God, how big are you? Your majesty is just overwhelming. It's like us standing beside the Grand Canyon or Niagara Falls and looking around and saying, God, how big are you? Well, God is big, bigger than our problems, bigger than our conflicts, bigger than our finances, and God is bigger than our sin. 1 John 1:9 tells us that he is faithful and he is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If then we confess our sins and we turn our hearts back to him. There is no problem, no sin that is too big for God, and David knew the power of prayer. David says in verse 6 that his soul longs for the peace and the rest that can only happen in God's presence. David's soul was thirsty, thirsty like a dry land in need of water. As we experience firsthand this goodness of God, we find ourselves thirsting more and more for the things of God. We find that nothing else satisfies in our life. The peace of God can be found in the storm. How many of you know this peace? That in the storms of life, amen, God is our peace in the storm. It's the confidence of knowing that God has this. That God is sovereign at all times and in all things. Now, my wife and I are in our family. We're going through a lot of storms right now on different fronts. My sisters are battling with, a failed kidney, a failed liver, stage 4 liver and kidney failure. My sister is, her sight is leaving her. I've seen cancer just run rampant through my family with 2 of my brothers, 2 of my sisters. I'm the youngest of 10, if you're doing the math. And in our own family, we sometimes just feel the kids battling against each other instead of just loving on each other. Our house has 11 bodies in this small area. We still haven't been able to get a decent loan for the house because I'm self-employed and it's a different time for loans. It's kind of always like the sword of Damocles holding over our head that might drop at any moment. The what ifs in life will kill you if you don't give them to God. What if this happens? What if I get cancer? What if I lose my job? What if my car breaks down? What if I lose my wife, my girlfriend, my job? Brothers, sisters, we need to give those concerns. Take them off our shoulders and give them to the Lord, like Isaac said. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Jesus also says that if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers, that is, torrents of living water. Only Jesus satisfies that deep need in us, the need to be heard, the need to be valued, to be cared for, to be comforted, the need for peace, the need for rest, and the need for complete, unconditional love, always and forever from our Savior. In verses 7 through 11, David now makes his request known before God. At the beginning of verse 7, he says, "Answer me." And then verse 8 says, "Cause me to hear, cause me to know." Verse 9, "Deliver me, O Lord." Verse 10, "Teach me to do your will." And then in verse 11, he says, "Revive me." David's first request in verse 7 is for a speedy response from God. His spirit is overwhelmed. His spirit has failed him. Isn't that what we all want from God? Just a speedy response. I know I do. When I pray, I want God to respond to me right away. Unfortunately, a lot of the times, God says, "I want you to rest in me. I want you to wait." Because with that waiting, your faith grows. Your trust in him grows. And we draw ourselves deeper to know the Savior. David knows that God hears his prayers. He isn't sleeping. He hasn't turned a deaf ear. The prophet Isaiah, 200 years after David's reign, says, "Have you not known? Have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the heavens and the earth, neither faints nor is weary? His understanding is unsearchable." David saw his own spirit fail, as many of us have seen our flesh fail, our best efforts fail in our life. But he knew in his heart that God would never fail him. In those moments when we feel lost, confused, alone, when we feel like God has forgotten us, we can feel trapped. David describes this as those who go down in the pit. Now, this isn't just the pit of hell, but that pit, that word in Hebrew, means a cistern or a deep well from which you draw water. You can imagine being dropped down in that well, and suddenly you'd be surrounded with walls. No way out. Hopeless. Dark. Therefore, in verses 8 through 10, David calls upon God's help to see him through. This brings us to our final point about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Point 4. The Holy Spirit teaches us how to walk in God's will. Notice the cause statements in verse 8. "Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for in you do I trust. And then also, cause me to know the way in which I should walk, for I lift my soul to you." David seeks the help of the Holy Spirit to hear and remember God's unconditional, unfailing, and eternal love for him. And also, David seeks God's help to teach him how to walk in his ways. Remember that this is a song of repentance. David is saying, "Lord, teach me how to be obedient. Teach me how to stay on the right path, Father. I want to do things your way now, not mine." In verse 9, David seeks God's deliverance. He says, "Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. In you I take shelter. To you I flee." David realizes that his resources are depleted now. They're gone. Only God can deliver him from his enemies. He says, "Protect me as I find rest and refuge in you." In verse 10, David's humble heart turns to that of a student. He says, "Teach me now to do your will, for you are my God. Your spirit is good. Just lead me into the land of uprightness." God's spirit is good. God's spirit always seeks goodness, kindness, reconciliation, and mercy. God's spirit is always loving, always faithful, always righteous, and always full of mercy, patience, and forgiveness. God's Spirit also never seeks to pursue us and to teach us the way in which we should walk. My spirit fails me. It has weaknesses, has flaws, has limitations. My spirit seeks to satisfy the flesh, but God's Spirit draws us into that personal relationship with our Father. In those final two verses, David says, "Revive me, O Lord, for your name's sake." David's soul is fainted and he seeks his master's help. "For your righteousness' sake, bring out my soul out of trouble." David calls on God's righteousness and not his own to get him out of trouble. David admits his weakness, his limitations, and knows that without God, his situation is hopeless. And finally, in verse 12, he says, "In your mercy, cut off my enemies." and destroy those who afflict my soul, for I am your servant. To attack a man's servant was to attack the master. To attack one of God's servants was to attack God himself. David reminded God that he was his servant, and it was God's job then to protect him. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I'll tell you, I wouldn't want to be one of David's enemies right now. Cool psalm, huh? A couple takeaways really quick. First thing is that God is the ultimate teacher, right? He gives us his workbook and his word. He instructs us, he guides us. He also gave us his son to be the ultimate example for us, how to live a life of faith and trusting in him. And he also gave us the Holy Spirit that dwells in each of us so that we know when we've gotten off the path. Second takeaway is that the Holy Spirit reminds us of just how deep God's love, unconditional love, is for all of us. And no matter what we may be facing, whatever trial, God is bigger. God is bigger than our enemies. God is bigger than our weaknesses, our flaws. God's love alone is bigger than our sin. That's why he sent his son Jesus on this rescue mission, to save us, to save me, to save you, and to save the world. Amen? Amen, brothers. Whew. Heavenly Father, we know you are the ultimate teacher, and this word is so great. And Father, we know that if we only put our trust in you, you will show us how to love. You will show us how to walk in your way. Father, teach us to be students of your word, students of your love. Father, we just ask that you touch each one of these lives that are here tonight. Use each of them in a mighty way to bring light and love to the world. Father, transform our lives so it might be so apparent to everyone around us that this man is God's chosen person. This woman is a woman of God, and she represents you and all that you stand for. Help us, Lord, to be good servants. And Father, protect us in those times when the enemy attacks us. Give us strength. Give us comfort in those times when we're hurting. And Father, just lead us and guide us always in your way. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't wanna be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins. Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't wanna be a prisoner no more.
No more.
Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life